chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make the heaven in the middle of it. Rest make the heaven in the middle. We are. Rest make the heaven.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off with a pronouncement by Greg Reese, and he lays out some very, very important things about these viruses. We're not going to get off of this topic of this virus and these vaccines. They're just too important to the American public to ignore and to drop for other topics or issues. But anyway, here we go with Greg Reese, and then I'll come back and set it up for the next segment here. That there's an interview with Dr. McCullough with Alex, and they say some very important things about Omicron. So here we go with Greg Reese.
Internationally recognized leading pathologist Dr. Arne Burkhardt and renowned expert in the fields of microbiology and infectious diseases, Dr. Sukarit Bhakti, recently published irrefutable evidence that the mRNA shots are killing at least 40% of recipients. First, they explain why the experimental agents cannot protect against a viral infection, which we already know to be true by the overwhelming evidence and admissions that the more vaxxed up a person is, the more likely they are to get COVID. Doctors Burkhardt and Bhakti explain that this is due to the fact that the so-called vaccines sway the body into producing antibodies in the blood, but not within the mucous membranes that normally protect our respiratory tract. This is why the vaccinated are suffering what they call breakthrough infections. The COVID vaccines are turning off lymphocyte production where they need it the most, while amping it up in the bloodstream, which is where it gets much worse. For those without the vaccine, a natural infection with SARS-CoV-2 will in most cases remain localized to the respiratory tract. But for those who have been vaccinated, unrelated cells deep inside the body react to the respiratory infection by creating a new spike protein, which then causes the cell that created it to be attacked by the immune system. Experts warned us of this last year, and now it is clearly seen in the evidence. Doctors Burkhardt and Bhakti found this autoimmune disease present in most organs, but mostly in the heart, which helps explain why we are seeing so many cases of myocarditis and cardiac arrest. The vaccines trigger self-destruction. Analysis has now been performed on the organs of over 70 people who died after vaccination and who died for reasons officially unrelated to the vaccines. In most cases, arrhythmogenic heart failure was postulated as the cause of death, a mystery which has now been solved. What they found was inflammatory events in small blood vessels, characterized by an overabundance of T lymphocytes and dead cells, usually accompanied by tissue destruction. In other words, immunological self-attack. The evidence clearly shows that both mRNA and vector-based vaccines from all four manufacturers are inducing autoimmune disease in multiple organs, mostly the heart, followed by the lung, liver, thyroid, and brain.
These data are so damning that you don't have to start looking for other data to know that these vaccines are killing the young and the old. So the children are set up against the wall and they shoot. These damn people are shooting and they're killing our children. I can't stand it. We have a 4-year-old son and we're going to flee this damn country, because we are not going to let himself be shot.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Coming up next is an interview that Alex had with Dr. McCullough, and he said some very interesting things about Omicron, and it's been mutated so many times now that it's becoming less viral and short-term and short-lived. But here we go with Dr. Peter McCullough.
No one who values their health should ever commit the body to a series of a multi-year injections of genetic therapy. It just simply cannot be done. Let's hold the line and hold it here.
What needs to happen, too, because you brought this up before we went live an hour and a half ago or almost 2 hours ago. Senator Paul has done a great job exposing the fact that Fauci and others lied about cooking this stuff up at Wuhan. I mean, it's clearly that part of it was man-made. Where does that need to go now? Because I feel like if we don't punish the perpetrators, then they're just going to do this again.
Crimes against humanity have, you know, basically complaints have been filed in international courts by lead attorney Rainer Fulmich from Germany. There's no fairness in the courts now. I think the bottom line is you saw the news reels. Australia is walking themselves into concentration camps, basically vaccine concentration camps. You saw arrests going on and horrific things going on.
Oh, they're even grabbing political enemies, like senators, and saying, we're just going to keep you till you shut up. We're going to punish you and keep you longer. They're not even acting like it's to stop a spread. They're not even infected with the senator.
No, it's the bottom line is there is no secrecy here. This is a test of wills. This is a show of strength. This is who's bigger and stronger. And I can tell you, we have the truth. And that's what the other side doesn't have.
Dr. Peter McCullough is in studio with us on the last broadcast of the year, fresh off one of Joe Rogan's biggest interviews ever with more than 40 million viewers. The system is definitely scared. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Thank you so much for joining us on the last transmission of the Alex Jones Show of 2021. All right, Doc, during the little break, you are just laying it all out saying, quote, it's much worse than we thought, and then getting into the vaccine and going, oh, what's Trump doing? I want you to get all technical and scientific next hour to your PowerPoint. But just as a citizen, as an American, as a patriot, as a husband, big picture, what are we facing? What's really going on here?
The big picture is we're facing a virus that had been manipulated in a lab in Wuhan, China. It stays alive in the human body far longer than we ever thought. No wonder the PCRs are intermittently positive. It's clearly mutated now. The Omicron variant has violated a golden rule of COVID-19. Before Omicron, it was one and done. The immunity was robust, complete, and durable. No more. And that's the update from my Rogan podcast. Everybody's emailed me, Dr. McCullough, you said you can't get it twice. I said, things have changed. We learned December 10th. Our CDC told us Omicron's in the United States. It is the most highly mutated form of the virus. It cannot invade the body like the prior versions. Thank goodness. Maybe we won't have terrible autopsy results like we had from the prior versions. It can't invade as well, but it replicates 70 times more rapidly than Delta. And in that was from Hong Kong University, pointed that out to us in a report. And then a report from the South African Research Institute showed that when somebody gets Omicron, you shut the door on Delta because there is immunity, basically closing off the door for Delta to basically invade the body. Omicron is in a battle against Delta, and Omicron won because it's faster and it closes the door on Delta.
I want to get into all the technicals, but let's talk about Trump. And I'm not fetishizing attacking Trump. I don't like to attack Trump. I like Trump overall. But his trying to play doctor and saying, oh, the vaccines work 100% and nobody's gotten sick from the vaccine. I mean, that's like Pfizer talking points. And I know you were off air. We're not trying to attack Trump, but what's your view on that?
My view is that we should have a far more fair balanced mention of any of the vaccines by any official and any person of authority, including myself. Everything has risks and benefits, Alex. There's no doubt about it. With the vaccines, there has been a benefit. There has been a modest reduction in mortality, as shown in papers by Cohn from the VA and by 1040 in the Ivy Network. There is a small reduction in mortality for hospitalized patients. There is a relatively large differential in hospitalization risk, I think driven by differential testing, not so much a vaccine effect. But importantly, there are serious safety concerns. Thousands of Americans have died after the vaccine, shortly afterwards, and then hundreds of thousands have been injured and been hospitalized.
And expanding on that, though, from the literature I've seen, and again, I'm just putting out a gestalt of everything I've seen, but it works up front, but then it damages the immune system or lowers the immunity. And I've seen reports out of England and other places of what triple the chance of getting Omicron if you've been vaccinated.
No, I'm not so sure about that right now, Alex. The way I view the data is Omicron is an equal opportunity player. It's equally infecting the previously immune, the vaccinated, and the unvaccinated. The difference is the previously immune and the vaccinated are having milder syndromes. It's brief and it's mild, typically without pulmonary involvement. The unvaccinated still can get a bit more of a severe syndrome, but it's far milder than we've ever seen. By the way, we had to shift our monoclonals. GlaxoSmithKline now is our lead monoclonal. That's sotrovimab. It actually is still good in covering Omicron against a part of the spike protein that doesn't mutate. That means our workhorse Regeneron and then the resurgent Lilly product now have to be set aside. Joe Lodapo, Surgeon General in Florida, is on a warpath right now to get these valuable monoclonals into the state of Florida for our seniors.
What's the reality of the monoclonals? I mean, is Biden really blocking those? Because I saw the Minnesota government say, yes, if you're white, we can deny it to you. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It actually says that.
Yeah, I don't know. But we had GlaxoSmithKline fully EUA approved in May of 2021. We've had 7 months to get ready for this. This product is specifically designed to handle resistant mutant strains. The GlaxoSmithKline product is, in a sense, what we needed in our toolbox to face something like Omicron. And now, sadly, all the centers, including we got an email in my health system in Dallas, Alex, this morning, saying, listen, we're out. We're out of ammo.
Big picture, getting back to Trump and Rachel Maddow, they both said the same thing. Quote, if you have the shot, you can't get sick, just like Biden's been saying, and no one's been hurt by the vaccine. Dr. McCullough, are those true statements?
Neither one of them are true.
So why the hell are Maddow and Trump still saying it over and over again?
It's either they know or they should have known. I mean, both, neither one of those two are good. In a court of law, you'd be asked a question. Did you know? Either you should have known or you know. And it's clear there are scores of Americans. We've had, what are we going to have, 500,000 new cases today? We have 70% of the population has been vaccinated. You know, we had data from UK, Denmark, and South Africa that 70% of Omicron patients were fully vaccinated. We had a report out of Germany yesterday. 94% of patients with Omicron are fully vaccinated. It should be clear to the former president of the United States and to all the news anchors that the vaccine doesn't stop SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, particularly the Omicron variant.
So what does that do to the credibility of the CDC and Trump and just everybody that keeps pushing that BS to Biden?
The doubling down, tripling, quadrupling down on the vaccines is something that I think everybody is going to regret. It's clear the vaccines were keyed against the original Wuhan spike protein. That has been long gone now for probably well over 9 months. The virus has sufficiently outmutated the vaccines. It's outmutated natural immunity. How can we possibly expect boosters to do anything outside of cause more harm?
But, Doc, isn't that the trick? I mean, all the scientists, the virologists have always known you can't create something for the flu because it always mutates a different way. You can't do it for the cold. Finally, they've created a war where we're obsessed with cold viruses and all the rest of it, and then it never works, so we're always chasing the rabbit here, basically. And now it's just a medical takeover.
It's a medical takeover. America has the cold. The whole country has a cold. They announced in Dallas this morning our testing centers hit 25% positivity rates. I mean, that means that 1 out of 4 people in line are turning positive on these tests. At this point in time, I think people ought to assume they have it. So many people can't get tests. The lines are too long. They ought to assume they have it.
And isn't that the way viruses always work? Pretty much always, even if they're lab made, is they're super deadly but hard to get. And then as they mutate, because they're learning how to spread, it's survival of the fittest, but they become less lethal but more contagious.
That's absolutely true, and that's Mueller's ratchet. That's exactly what was achieved by Omicron, replicating 70 times faster than Delta. Even though its transmissibility index was less than Delta, it just out-replicated it, and then it shut the door immunologically on allowing any more propagation of Delta. So we're going to see a sharp drop-off of Delta as the Omicron peak skyrockets.
What are viruses? And they argue, are they alive? Are they not, doctor? What are they?
Viruses are organisms that have protein and nucleic acids, and they have learned how to hijack mammalian cells and other cells from other organisms in order to, in a sense, feed on them and then propagate. So they have components able to replicate themselves, different than a prion, which would be just a protein.
So they're tiny predators.
They are tiny predators, and they feed on us. and they seek to stay alive. And Mueller's ratchet would say, listen, they've got to keep the host alive in order to propagate. We're almost at the point, Alex, this is the common cold, now a new version of it.
We're at the end of a cycle, a virus cycle, according to Dr. McCullough. So hopefully we're seeing the end of this, but that does not preclude or eliminate them releasing something that's more virile in the future. So if they come up with, because we believe this is eugenics types of programs, over the years, that they could release something again, you know, before this peters out, you could say. So anyway, we've got coming up next, we've got a chart clip here. Dr. Bucharet Bakhtiev, he's Indian, but he talks about the lymphocytes and so forth and the actual immune system beginning to attack itself. And the lymphatic system is under attack here because of the way these viruses and especially these shots work. But here we go with this doctor from India originally, but he's a really stand-up doctor today here. Here we go next.
I want to say, first of all, that we must not quibble about details. The facts are on the table, and the facts have been presented by Arne Burkhardt a week ago, and the facts are damning. All gene-based vaccines, independent of manufacturers, produce the same result in the vaccinees. He has looked at 15. In the last 4 days, the number has been increased to 70 individuals who died after vaccination without any connection to vaccination being established by the authorities. So these were people who died at home, at work, in the car, doing their sports, etc., etc., etc. This is very, very important. Postmortems were performed because the relatives insisted on this. And nothing was found. So the organs appeared normal. However, when Arne Burkhardt, professor of pathology, one of the most experienced professors in Germany, who is now pensioned, by the way, like me, proceeded to look at these organs over the last 6 months. He has spent day after day looking at these organs. He discovered something that was so absolutely damning and absolutely, you know, there's no question now anymore about what is going on. And the answer is, in the organs of these people, in 90%, he found clear evidence for autoimmune self-attack by killer lymphocytes on the tissues. The main ones being the heart, the lung, and after that, other tissues such as liver, etc., etc., etc. And this has been now posted on the website of the Doctors for COVID Ethics and is going viral around the world because these data are so damning that you don't have to start looking for other data to know that these vaccines are killing the young and the old. And they are killing our children. And so I don't know what we're talking about. Look at these pictures. Look at these bullets that are being shot into the people who are being vaccinated, the children who are, you know, we made this video and said, we're going to say, all right, children, stand up against the wall. This is a water pistol, and you're going to be shot with this water pistol, and it's not going to hurt, the water may get into your eyes, they may burn, Kati. The eyes may burn, but nothing will happen, and you will be protected, and you will protect your parents and grandparents. All this bullshit. So the children are set up against the wall, and they shoot. These damn people are shooting, and they're killing our children. I can't stand it. We have a 4-year-old son, and we're going to flee this damn country because we are not going to let himself be shot. Now, it is now known that autoimmune attack reactions leading to self-destruction are being triggered by these vaccines. Now, what Anna Bocher found was that in 90% of the deceased aged 28 to 90, women and men, 1-to-1, who were never thought to have been killed because of these vaccines, he found the same pathological findings in all of them. And this proves that the vaccine had killed them. Now, if the vaccine had killed 90% of these people by causing self-destruction of the heart via autoimmune reactions, which were, we can't prove this, but the only common denominator was the vaccination with this damn gene-based vaccine that caused the production of this damn spike in the tissues, there is no other reason for them to have died. There is no other reason. Now, listen very carefully, all of you. 4 of these 15 were only vaccinated once, and they died. And what Anna Bocard found, and I tell you, Anna Bocard is one of the most experienced pathologists in Europe. And when he says this is so, it is so. And he has pictures that are now documented and can never be destroyed. They are there for everyone in the world to see and view. When he says that killer lymphocytes have invaded the hearts and the lungs and sometimes other organs of these people, the question arises, why the hell do killer lymphocytes invade the organs? And the only answer is that these organs are producing the targets that are seen by these killer lymphocytes. And that target is the viral protein. Because this is how immunology has worked since the beginning of mankind and is still working now. Now, you politicians and you authorities, look at these pictures. Look at these people who have died. These people who have been killed because of you.
I'll be placing up on my site, thesecrettruth.com, a full rendition of all these interviews. So there'll be a click off on my site, thesecrettruth.com, and you'll be able to click on there and then go to and view all of these interviews from start to finish. We're just doing excerpts now of parts of these interviews that we feel that are important. But there's not always the key points in these excerpts. But anyway, here we go next with a nurse that she's working. She's had over 20 years in intensive care. Her name is Nurse Ann, and Reds.com has her. And she talks about remdesivir and how deadly it is and what's happening in the intensive care wards in her particular hospital. And it's very, very frightening of what is still going on with remdesivir. Here we go next.
The tendency was if they were started on the remdesivir, first of all, they were really at a sickly level at that point, and usually right. they were in Desivir would actually make them even sicker, and to the point where they'd end up with more complicated respiratory issues requiring intubation, and then also would require placing a VAS cath for access to for dialysis.
Okay, well, here's the big angle on the story. How can a doctor, and you, let me ask you this first. Most every health professional by now knows that there is at least great controversy about remdesivir use. Is that correct?
Yeah. I would say everybody would know because there was actually a lot of community knowledge that came out during the time that hospitals were starting to mandate nursing staff, and the information started to come out to the public
sure.
at that time. Yeah. So,
right. so
the nurses were basically trying to educate the public through a lot of messaging, and that was one of the messages that came through.
Well, my question is, so then it's reasonable to assume that most people working in big hospitals involved with patient care, be it nurses or technicians or doctors, they know that remdesivir is a big problem. Don't they? By now?
Yes.
They'd have
yes.
to.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All right. So this yes. doctor tells this friend of mine, who may well be gone now, I only gave you enough remdesivir to save your life. Now, I've never heard from my friend after he told me that in an email again, and that was 3-4 weeks ago now. So it doesn't
yeah.
sound like he made it.
No.
And he went in there with what appears to be whatever's going around now. I think it's probably a flu. Maybe it's a very bad cold. It's something. But they get panicked. People they're afraid. They run to the hospital. They run to the ER, and they get stamped with COVID positive, and then they sign away their rights to the hospital to treat them in any way the hospital deems fit to save them, to make them well, and then they're gone. And you're seeing this all the time. And so my first larger question to you is, how much death are you seeing in your large hospital that you're working in? How often are patients dying? Are you seeing empty beds in the morning kind of thing? After you take a break, you come back and somebody's gone. Are they mostly dying on ventilators? How are they dying?
Well, they may have been on the ventilators for a short time and they're taken off. And what usually has been the usual trend is we're seeing a lot of like multi-system organ failure. So they may have come in with one complication where it might have been a respiratory issue or a cardiac issue, and now you have the heart is involved, the brain is involved because of a stroke, or the kidneys are involved. So what's happening is the doctors are basically saying we're doing all we can to help these patients are getting sicker. And what they're basically pushing is the direction of, you know, DNR, DNI, which means do not resuscitate, do not intubate it, and then push the patients to either palliative or hospice care, comfort care.
Okay, so
and
they're
that's
doing
what's happening.
They're doing palliative hospice care, which means putting people to sleep right there in your
mm-hmm.
hospital.
Yeah. Yep. That's the direction because so many organs are damaged at that point. They're left with what they feel is no choice, and this is the best direction to take, which would
who
be
makes
okay.
It, Well, wait. Who makes that decision?
The next of kin, so the proxy of for the patient.
Okay.
Would be the person who would make it, or sometimes if the patient can make that decision themselves, it's rare. It's very rare. Usually we're going to next of kin or the proxy.
And next of kin are so emotionally distraught that in many cases they probably turn to you or the doctors and say, well, what do you think? Is that what we're seeing?
Well, and also they're watching their loved one decline. I mean, they're seeing them at the starting point when they came into the hospital to the point now where they have continuously declined through the whole entire hospitalization and have actually gotten worse and not better.
Okay. Last question, then Erica will step in. These people who are getting worse and dying, how many of them approximately are being given remdesivir as a treatment, a protocol?
When they come in and they test positive for COVID, the drug of choice, and they're per the CDC and the FDA,
yes,
is remdesivir. And the hospital is using that drug as the first drug of choice.
Well, that's quite frightening of Nurse Ann. But anyway, so remdesivir is nothing to fool with. You should not have it prescribed to your loved one in the hospital. Avoid it at all costs. But anyway, coming up next is an interview with Steve Kirsch that Alex had earlier in the week, and he really lays out some very, very important things here about what's going on, and his insights are just superb. So here we go with Steve Kirsch.
Everything that we saw here seems to make a lot of sense. So these were basically 15 patients who died after being vaccinated, and sometimes it happened 7 days after being vaccinated, and sometimes they died within 6 months. So they had a mix of patients. Some of these people the youngest, I think, was like 23, 24-year-old, and the oldest was, I think, like a 95-year-old. But the one thing they had in common is that they were vaccinated 6 months or earlier before they were given to these scientists to do a very thorough autopsy, and they spent 6 months to do the autopsy. And what they found was that in 14 out of the 15 cases, in other words, 93%, that the vaccine was actually causing the T cells to attack your own organs. And in 14 out of the 15 cases, it attacked the heart. And so depending on which organ they looked at, they would have fewer cases. But the organ that was most often attacked in all the cases where they saw damage was the heart. And of course, this is consistent with, what we've seen in VAERS in terms of the elevated cardiac risk, sometimes, thousands times elevated. But, everything there was consistent. But what's very troubling is that before they were given these bodies, the coroners determined that in all 15 cases that the vaccine was not implicated. And when they actually examined the bodies correctly using the right tests with the right experience and knowing what to look for, they found that in 93% of the cases, we have this, we can implicate that the vaccine was implicated in the death. Now, I learned today, I talked to someone who, he doesn't work at the CDC, but half of his neighbors work at the CDC. And he said all of them, none of them have vaccinated their kids with any of the vaccines. None of these people from the CDC, they're sort of clued in. It's kind of like the CDC saying, hey, do what we say, but not what we do. And so this was new news to me. I didn't realize that these CDC workers haven't vaccinated any of their kids.
All right. Well, last night was about 10 p.m. I was going to go to bed early, and I went to InfoWars.com, and I saw a link to the latest article by Steve Kirsch, and I spent over an hour and a half reading it and watching the videos, and only got through part of it. It's a very lengthy, well-documented report, and I've done so much research, I knew that a lot of it I'd already seen other places, but there was a lot of new information, which was really sad because I wish this wasn't true, but it is true. Steve Kirsch is a philanthropist and executive director of COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund. It's also the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. He is the inventor of the optical mouse and one of the first internet search engines, InfoSeek. He has founded seven high-tech companies with $2 billion market caps. Steve is currently focused on safe and effective ways to end the pandemic. He received his BS MS in electrical engineering from computer science from MIT in 1980. He's been featured on 60 Minutes and basically everywhere else. SteveKirsch.substack.com or on Twitter at Steve Kirsch or ST Kirsch and Gab on ST Kirsch. So good to have you here. We've got a lot, obviously, to cover here with you, but you've got this extremely informative and shocking report out that 93% pathology results show 93% of people who died after being vaccinated were killed by the vaccine. We'll unpack that first, and then all your other big bombshell articles that are completely linked and documented, 360 times increase in the rate of a particular disorder after vaccination. We're going to look at that, how the game is played. We'll also look at over 10,000 vaccine deaths in South Korea after the injection. That's just some of what we're going to be covering with you today. Steve Kirsch, thanks for joining us on this December 29th show.
My pleasure. It's good to be here, and I'm back alive on Twitter after being permanently suspended. So it's good to be among the living on Twitter as well. Although I discovered today that my friend Robert Malone, who has 512,000 subscribers on Twitter, was removed, as you mentioned earlier. He actually hasn't logged in yet. His wife told me about it, and of course, a lot of people noticed that. So he wasn't sure why they removed him or which tweet it was. He had no notice. He was just his account was just suspended, and his wife told him it was permanent. But I think he's going to get his revenge in the next 48 hours, because I think his interview that's upcoming will be extremely widely distributed. A lot of people are going to hear about that.
Oh, so I guess the same little bird told you, huh?
Oh, well, I got it right. He was on his way to the airport. Let's put it that way.
All right.
When I talked to Robert this morning. He's on his way to the airport. And you know where he's going.
So do you think they might have preemptively learned about that and done that because of this?
I don't know. I don't think so, because it's not well known. I don't think very many people knew about what's going on. So I think it was more that he tweeted a particular story that they didn't want people to see.
Absolutely. We should go back and review that. I know he put out an emergency warning to parents about the shot, and now even Israeli scientists are warning. I mean, they've got a big problem on their hands. I don't see how they cover this up now, what's happening. In fact, spend a few minutes on that, and we'll get into your big article. But the latest, just on the state of the shots, what they really are, what's happening.
Well, you know, we're seeing terrible results everywhere. There is a new Denmark study showing that the boosters are only effective for about 30 days. And after that, it starts to go negative. And so, in other words, instead of the vaccine helping you and keeping you from getting infected, the vaccines are now going to help you to get infected. So the vaccines are doing the exact opposite of what you're told. And this is in a Denmark study, and it showed that for Omicron in particular, the vaccine efficacy turns negative after about 60 days. And negative vaccine efficacy means the vaccine is actually on the side of the virus, not on helping you, protecting you from the virus.
What is the mechanism of that? Because I've seen the studies that it turns off white blood cells and things. What's really going on there?
Yeah, so, you know, we don't really quite know all of the details, but there's a lot of things that do happen. Your immune system gets suppressed every time you get jabbed. And so the more times you get jabbed, the more likely you are to be infected against something that is sort of peripheral to the jab. So these jabs are based on the original wild type virus. And so when you have something like Omicron, which is very different from the original strain, it makes sense that it's going to protect you for a little while because it's going to just stimulate your immune system for about a month. And then afterwards, that's going to die down. And now your immune system is going to take over in terms of fighting that that virus. But your immune system has now been compromised every time you get the jab. And so it means that you're going to be less able to fight it off. That's why we're seeing negative vaccine efficacy. But that's part of it. You know, there could be this vaccine in it could be original antigenic sin, which says that, hey, we train the body to look for one thing, and if it looks for something else, then it's going to be harder for it to recognize that. So there's some of that going on. People talked about ADE. There probably isn't classical ADE, but there is basically a vaccine-induced effect where it's depressing your ability to fight the virus. So the point is that people may say, oh, I'm going to be protected against COVID, but the problem is that you're going to be protected more against the original strain, and it's going to depress your immune system for everything else. So like cancers are going to reoccur, latent viruses are going to reoccur. You know, people whose cancers were under control, they take the vaccine and it suddenly becomes completely out of control. And so this is something that we're seeing over and over again.
Yeah, I saw that German study at a hospital where they found the patients that were even in remission. They would give them the shot and then suddenly it would just explode all over their body. They're like, whoa, this is super dangerous.
Coming up is Dr. Malone, who pioneered in the mRNA technology. And he's being interviewed by Christy Lee and in the headquarters there of Alex Jones. And it talked about the general system that is evolving. And then we're going to come back with another interview that reinforces that by a UFO ET attorney. And then we'll finish out the program then. But anyway, listen to this. This is Christy Lee and Dr. Malone. Very important about what kind of a system do we have out there.
It has profoundly changed my view of the information that we receive on a daily basis and how much I find myself, me and many others in my world, Mickey Willis is another one, right? Plandemic. Okay, so I went and did a shoot with Mickey for the Plandemic 3 series and had a chance to talk to him. He comes from a liberal Southern California background, Simi Valley, you know, hardcore, progressive California. And then he went through this when he basically got rejected by all of his old colleagues because of Plandemic 1 and decided to just get out of Dodge and move here to Austin. He's another one that's had this journey of experiencing what is really, you know, the fist that's inside that glove, and many, many others. I think that's going to be one of the things that comes out of this. And that's a really hopeful message going into the new year, is that there's a growing cohort of people that are increasingly aware of how thoroughly we've been manipulated.
So you'd say you've been red-pilled?
In like multidimensional red-pill. I thought I was red-pilled. You know, I've been on the inside for so long and seen Tony Fauci's machinations for so long. It's how that's my origin story, was the initial AIDS crisis starting in 83 when I was at Davis. And so I saw the hardball politics, and then, you know, that's the next big chapter in my origin story, is experiencing big science at the Salk Institute and ending up with a nervous breakdown and PTSD. Okay. So it's not that I haven't been aware of that. But I had not been aware before of the information control that is globally coordinated. I mean, the Trusted News Initiative is profound. What that means, that has become the Ministry of Truth full on. I mean, it's, Christy, another thing I was talking to another podcaster the other day, a small local one in Tennessee, and a very intellectual woman. And we got talking, and I said, you know, because I was fast-tracked, you know, as a young person, because of testing and things like that, when I was in fourth and fifth grade, I was reading 1984, Brave New World, you know, those kinds of books and the Greek classics. And I got the question of why it was so easy for me to kind of break free of the assumptions and see through the media manipulation. I think that was part of it. It's deep in my soul. It's like, you know, wired into my childhood brain. And, but we are seeing full on Orwellian Ministry of Truth now. There's no holds barred. And what Twitter's doing right now, that I think, you know, with Alex Berenson's bold and brave lawsuit taking on Twitter. And then I've had a bunch of lawyers come to me because of getting deplatformed or canceled, I think is really the right term. I think that we may, certainly people can't deny anymore.
Yeah.
There's so much evidence. And the CNN ratings keep slipping, yay. You know, maybe we're going to see some change in 2022. That's a hopeful forward-looking statement.
But in light of this awareness of the propaganda and knowing what they do, it seems like you became an easy target for their buzzword of saying, like, oh, he says he's the mRNA vaccine technology inventor, you know, and they really went heavy on that and have tried to contest that. Do you regret saying mRNA
no.
vaccine inventor?
Matter of fact, Jill, my wife, Dr. Jill Glaspell, is she attacks me for not being forceful enough. Okay, and she's been my partner through all of this. She's like, no, don't back down. You did this work. I lived it with you. You were obsessed. You worked insanely hard to do this. I remember those inventions. I remember she's the one that's written this big statement on the webpage that recounts her version, her, you know, vision or an experience in the first person of having lived through those events. He was rough on us as a young couple with a son. And so she doesn't back down, and she's insist for me. I was like, oh, can't we soft pedal this? I'm just getting so much flack. She's like, no, you are not going to do that. So, you know, there's a statement behind every good man is a good woman. And she is definitely actively transplanting a steel rod into my spine on this topic.
What about those that are saying, well, he's just taking this position because he's bitter that he didn't get more credit with the vaccines?
You know, what's funny about all that is these detractors that are basically trying to delegitimize me in any way they can, they're coming at these little, picking at these little things. The good news is they haven't been able to find anything of substance in my background. I have no criminal record or any of that kind of stuff. I'm still married to the same woman, you know, after 42 plus years. And I've got, you know, I'm kind of a net average guy, kids and all that. And so, and they never are attacking the points made, the science, the issues that I'm raising, except these hired fact checkers. and what I've found is that it doesn't matter whether you cite the literature and you provide them with facts. They are not about the facts. I mean, we now know this from the lawsuit against Facebook, that where the Facebook lawyers came flat out and said, well, we call them fact checkers, but these are really opinions.
Coming up next is John Bound reporting about, you know, slavery, you know what I mean, in China, you know, and what they're working these people night and day. And so, you know, what are we talking about, huh? Huh, China? Here we go with John Bound with this report.
Housing prices in China are in free fall as the China Evergrande Group defaults and its shares drop by 90%. Evergrande is embedded across China's financial system. As Bloomberg Intelligence reported, state-owned developers may be forced to take over Evergrande projects next year to ensure homes are delivered to their buyers.
This 30-story hotel went up in just 2 weeks.
Prefabricated floor plates and prefabricated walls that are all just moved in and put in place by a crane. It's like a big Lego set. The danger with that sort of development is that there is the risk of a lot of buildings being built that all look the same.
When you walk around these ghost cities, what are your thoughts?
what are my thoughts? Well, I mean, I'm gobsmacked. I mean, I'm gobsmacked that there are so many malls and empty apartments just standing vacant, and yet they're still building more. It doesn't seem to make sense. They've constructed huge residential areas with shopping malls, etc., and no one's moved in to live in them. Just because you build it doesn't mean they'll come.
Clearly, they're not coming.
No, I mean, 700 million people in China live on less than $2 a day. They simply can't afford these. And that's why these apartments are sitting empty, because there's no one who can afford to live in them.
This is a business model that's flawed. It's not just one company that's out of control. And the entire business model is going to be a problem in a country where real estate is a disproportionate amount of GDP and the economy.
The 21st century belongs to the Chinese, as the Rockefeller Foundation and a slew of anti-American think tanks intended. It will be a century that begins with global economic collapse.
One of the senior executives from Evergrande lived was a neighbor of mine, and one day the workers surrounded the house and the army had to intervene because they hadn't paid wages. So this is kind of a regular thing, but it's never been as serious as this.
China's economy, once the globalist golden child, has recently been described by the World Bank as high growth based on resource-intensive manufacturing, exports, and low-paid labor that has largely reached its limits and has led to economic, social, and environmental imbalances. A low-paid labor class that includes modern-day slavery.
Critics have long pointed out alleged abuse of factory workers by Foxconn, which has made their lives miserable. Foxconn is notorious for its military style of management. The company tried very hard to stop the suicides, though none of this was done with any goodwill or intentions. They did not do this by digging out the roots of the exploitation, but instead actually erected anti-jumping nets on their buildings.
There are still some facilities or mechanisms that prevents workers from suicide. They have the nets in the stairs and also all the windows. They have this ceiling-like cage where you can jump from the window.
This is one site we're trying to get to, a giant re-education camp. But more recently, something else has been built next door. A textile factory. Days after its completion, a large group of people can be seen being moved between the camp and the factory. From the ground, it's clear the factory and accommodation blocks are all now one single site, plastered with Communist Party slogans.
Relying on slavery that inevitably leads to civil and/or world war. John Bound reporting.
Next coming up is Daniel Sheehan. He's an attorney that's represented many of these UFO ET groups that are trying to expose what's going on. Here we go with this interview with Daniel Sheehan.
When Lou Elizondo got adequately upset personally over the fact that he was being lied to, and he was having doors slammed in his face, and he was being made a fool of, by having been given $22 million by the Congress to look into this issue, and he was going and talking to ranking military officers in all the services who were genuinely telling him that they didn't know anything about it. They'd never been briefed in on it. They were very curious about this themselves, and he became aware of the fact that it wasn't just him that was being closed out, that there was an entire regime inside the American Intelligence and Defense Department closing out high-ranking military officials and intelligence officials and elected officials about this whole issue. And you say, well, who the hell are these people? that think they have a right to have this information and hold it away from everybody else. And you began to see that it was this kind of conglomerate of people, of full career officers in the intelligence community that had been there for 25 or 30 years, and they'd risen into this kind of elite, and that there were major officials in these corporations, defense corporations, Lockheed Martin, you know, guys like Ben Rich and the others who knew about this, but they weren't telling elected officials. Presidents of the United States couldn't get the information when they tried to get it, you know, from Jimmy Carter to Bill Clinton. And so that this group of people, I think, got caught a bit unawares here. I think Harry Reid, Ted Stevens, Harry Reid, the majority leader for the Democratic Party in the Senate, Ted Stevens from Alaska, and Dan Inouye from Hawaii, they were all getting into their senior years and getting ready to retire. As a little bit of a swan song, they all joined together and they got this appropriation for $22 million and they assigned it over into the Secretary of Defense Office on Intelligence, and there was this project going on that was starting to beaver into finding out about this UFO phenomenon. And so all of the ranks that had been closed to anybody else started mobilizing and shutting down that investigation. And so when Lou Elizondo finally got run out of steam on trying to get this done, he got these three videos declassified of the F-18 Super Hornets tracking the UFOs, and got it declassified, and then resigned publicly and went to the New York Times and got it put on the front page of the New York Times. I think it caught this elite group kind of off guard. And the people at the highest levels of the Defense Department were caught off guard, and they started doing foolish things and lying and contradicting themselves, et cetera. So the situation became unstable. It's still unstable. They're trying to stabilize it now by this report that came in on June 25th.
So are you suggesting in the little time that we have left, too much? Are you suggesting that they had to get out in front of it, and the only way to do that was through the media and try to look like they weren't caught by surprise?
Oh, yes. No, there's no doubt that the Defense Department is scrambling right now to try to figure out the people that were excluded from the information are trying to scramble to see how much of the information they're going to be allowed now to get at. The people who are trying to conceal it are trying to decide how much, if anything, they're going to have to reveal in order to maintain some continued sense of mystery about this whole thing. So they're in a state of flux right now, and it's very important in a moment like this that we move in on them. And I think we have the additional argument, it's a very important one, is that if they have access to this technology and this source of energy that is being used to propel these craft, and they're hiding it away in order to allow the petroleum and coal industries and natural gas industries to continue to burn fossil fuels and destroy the planet for their own private profit, that is the thing that people should not tolerate. You know, that we cannot allow ourselves to be destroyed for the private profit of these people. And so that we need to work together concretely, I think, strangely enough, through the window of global climate change, to quote the people who have had direct contact with these beings, who are talking about us saving the planet, to mobilize, to figure out who the people are that are holding this technology away from us. I think that you take a look at this great reset that is now being flogged around now by this group called the World Economic Council.